is this. I have a nephew who is he's a soldier fighting in Afghanistan. Okay, he's a helicopter commandant. So he's ahead of other soldiers there, and he's like the boss of a group, a platoon of soldiers that are fighting against the ISIS, basically, in Afghanistan, which is very difficult. Pray for him, no? It's a very, very dangerous job, but very important. How do you think he dresses? Do you think he dresses like his uncle, the priest? No. Have you ever seen a soldier? He's dressed like a soldier, okay? If you go to Orlando, you're going to meet my brother, who's a doctor. You ever see a doctor? Ever see a surgeon? How do they dress? Are you dressed like me? No. Okay. Do you know anyone who dresses in the pinstripes? They're called the Yankees, the New York Yankees, right? You ever hear of the Yankees? No? They have a pinstripe uniform. So these are all different type of uniforms. If you want to belong to Mary, hopefully you want to belong to Mary, you have to wear Mary's uniform. And what is Mary's uniform? Mary's uniform is a scapular. Got that? Hello? So if you want to belong to Mary, to her army, to her family, to her school, you wear the scapular. And can I just see yours for a minute? Oh, can't get it off. He's got a scapular. It's a really nice scapular, okay? You've been wearing this for a while? Really nice scapular. Okay, we're going to be giving you a scapular. Not exactly like this, but it's a really nice scapular. And you've been wearing it for already a couple of years? Okay, it fell apart, right? Okay, well, good. Well, it's a really nice scapular, and we're going to be giving you one. I have a scapular. I don't know if I can get it off. I think I can. You believe me? Okay. Yeah, but mine is a little bit different. It's one of those shoestrings. You know who made this? My mother. My mother was 88 years old. In her free time, she makes scapulars. Okay? Want to feel it? What do you feel inside it? Below. Ah.
A metal?
Yeah. How about in this one?
Nothing.
Yes, there's a metal too. It's a smaller metal.
Oh.
So in one, you've got the metal of the miraculous medal, and you have the medal of St. Benedict. St. Benedict is the medal to prevent you against the attacks of the devil, because the devil attacks, especially the priest, okay? So I have this, and this is stronger than yours. This is probably going to last a long time because it's a shoelace. And like most of you, I play sports, okay? And if I play sports, you know, you move around, and that can easily rip it apart. So you wear it, and you wear it like this. So some have... Can I put it in my pocket? Can I put it in my shoe? No. No. You wear it like this. Why? Symbolically, it's over your heart. Yeah. It's over your heart. And also, it's over your back. The word scapular comes from Latin scapula, which means shoulder. So it's over your shoulders. It's over your heart. And it's as if, who's this? Mary is embracing you. I love that. Don't you? Again, you're walking through the world, and the Blessed Mother is embracing. I love that. That's a symbolism. Okay. Now, to understand language and communication, you have to understand what a symbol is. A symbol is a physical reality that has a spiritual meaning behind it. If I shake your hand, it's because we're friends. If your mom kisses your dad, that's a symbol of love. If you raise the flag, that is a symbol of patriotism. Okay, we love our country, right? If I go like this to you, what does that mean? What if I go like this to you? Is it the same thing? We go like this, come here. This one, you know, I'm angry, you know? So we speak through symbols, and one of the most eloquent symbols, most eloquent symbols in the Catholic faith is the scapula. Have you ever seen a nun or a monja? You ever see one of the Carmelite nuns there in Alhambra? Any of you go up there?
Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
You ever see that statue of St. Therese when you come into the church? Their scapular is from here all the way down to the ground. So this is a little scapular. Their whole habit, their brown habit, that's a scapular. That's a scapular. So by wearing this, you are belonging to Mary. Eventually we hope that you'll read the little booklet called Garment of Salvation, a little booklet which explains the catechesis of the scapular, but also a lot of miracles. I'd like to tell you one. One of my favorite saints, his name is Saint Alfonso Liguori, okay, who founded the Redemptorists. Great saint. When he was about 65 years old and his health had already deteriorated, the Pope said, "Alfonso, I want you to be a bishop. I'm too old and sick." You know what the Pope said? "Your shadow is enough to sanctify the whole diocese." Wow. Your shadow is enough to sanctify the whole diocese. What a compliment, huh? Did you say your shadow is enough to sanctify the whole school where you go? Fat chance, huh? I doubt it, huh? Is your shadow enough to sanctify your whole family? Mas o menos, huh? Menos que mas, huh? So he was really holy. And he would always wear a scapular. And have you ever read the life of a saint? You know, the saints, they always have some enemies. And they tried to kill John Bosco many times. Maybe read his life, no? Because the saints are often opposing materialism and greed, and people that are greedy and materialistic, they don't like that. So one day he was celebrating Mass. And know the garments we have? It's called the chasuble, and then the alb, and then below that we have, you have the clergyman, and you have your white shirt. There's a guy in the back of the church that hated Alphonsus. He pulled out his gun and boom! And the bullet went right through the chasuble, right through the alb, right through his black habit, right through his black shirt, right through his t-shirt, and the bullet was embedded in the scapula that was covering his heart. True story. True story. Should have killed him. A little bit of cloth is not going to prevent a bullet, right? So that was the hand of Mary that was protecting St. Alphonsus. Many miracles. One more miracle. The story of these Protestants with one Catholic in a big ship crossing the ocean. And there was one Irish Catholic, the others were Protestant. You know what a Protestant is, right? So a storm descended upon the sea, and the people were panicking because they're afraid that the ship was going to sink. And this Catholic, he took his scapular off, and all the Protestants were looking at him, and the storm was getting worse and worse, and he threw the scapular out of the ship in the midst of the sea. As soon as that happened, the sea calmed. And the last wave came, like an invisible hand, launched the scapula back into the ship. All the Protestants, then they all became Catholics. Praise the Lord, huh? True story. Now, one of the most incredible stories is this. You're not going to believe it, but God can work miracles. There was a guy who was living in mortal sin. And he had the scapula, and he's walking along the railroad tracks. You know what that is? And the train comes, and the guy slips right there where the train was passing, and they cut the guy in two pieces. And the priest came, and his head said, "Hey, hear my confession." He went to confession, and then after that he died because he had the scapular on. I mean, that's the most incredible. I mean, if you're cut in two pieces, your head is not going to be able to speak, right? But Mary works miracles. And Mary wants to help us to get to heaven. So you read that little booklet called Garment of Grace. Maybe we can buy that for them, Belinda. Garment of Grace. There's a little catechesis on the scapular. Eventually we can maybe get that. You want to wear the scapular. And when you get up in the morning, you have the scapular. What are you going to do? Soon you get up, kiss the scapular. Kiss the scapular. And the church gives an indulgence for that. Less time in purgatory. We get the souls out of purgatory, for that matter. Kiss the scapular. And then, what I do is I take the scapular and I bless this, and the eyes, the nose, lips, and my tongue three times because I talk a lot. Okay? And then here. So I'm asking Mary to bless my thoughts, my eyes, my spiritual sense of smell. We're called to be the aroma of Christ. Amen. Yeah. Speech, and then heart. So you should do that morning and evening. So what this means, it's not a good luck charm. And you might think, good luck charm. Oh, this is a good luck charm. It can help me to win the lotto or the casino. No, it's not a good luck charm. It's an exterior sign in which you say, I want to belong to Mary. I want to be in the family of Mary. I want to live in the heart of Mary. Amen? So hopefully you're going to be wearing this until you die. And Mary promises if you wear this and you try to live a holy life until you die, you will not suffer eternal fire, which is written on your scapular, okay? You're not going to suffer eternal fire, which means that you are going to make it to heaven through Mary's prayers. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so I'm going to go through the ceremony, and then I'll impose the scapular, and then we'll move into our class. Stand up, please. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Show us, O Lord, your mercy and grant us your salvation. O Lord, hear my prayer and let my cry come unto you. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Savior of mankind, by your right hand sanctify these scapulars which your servants will devoutly wear for love of you and of your mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary of Mount Carmel, so that by her intercession they may be protected from the wickedness of the enemy and persevere in your grace until death, who lives and reigns forever and ever. Amen. Make a blessing of the scapulars. You can leave them there and I'll bless them all at the same time. I'll be imposing the scapulars upon you. Just stay where you're at, and I'll just go and impose the scapular upon you. Receive the scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Amen. You have to respond, amen. Receive the scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary.
Amen.
Receive the scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Receive the scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary.
Amen.
Receive the scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary.
Amen.
Receive the scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary.
Amen.
Receive the scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary.
Amen.
Receive the scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary.
Amen.
Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Let's go over here. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary.
Amen.
Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary.
Amen.
Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary.
Amen.
Okay, right here now. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary.
Amen.
Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary.
Amen.
Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. I'll come over. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary. Let's go around here. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary.
Amen.
Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary.
Amen.
Got them all? I think so, yeah. Oh. Well, these ones, okay. Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary.
Amen.
Receive this scapular as a sign of your consecration to Mary.
Amen.
So this. See, this will be your second one. Receive this scapular on your consecration to Mary. The closing prayer. By the power granted me, I admit you to a share in all the spiritual works performed with the merciful help of Jesus Christ by the religious of Mount Carmel, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Creator of heaven and earth, bless you whom he has been pleased to receive to the confraternity of the Blessed Virgin Mary of Mount Carmel. We beg her to crush the head of the ancient serpent at the hour of death, and in the end to obtain for you a palm and the crown of your everlasting inheritance through Christ our Lord. Amen. You give me the holy water, I'll bless all of them now at the same time. Okay. Make the sign of the cross now. Okay. That now, this also now means, now you can sit down, that you all now, you belong to the Carmelite order, okay? You now belong to the Carmelite order. You're part of the Carmelite order of St. Teresa, okay? So that's beautiful. You're part of the Carmelite order, not as a nun yet, no, but you're part of the Carmelite order, and you receive many of the blessings from the Carmelite order. So this is a very, very happy and beautiful day. Okay, so we pass out the worksheets, and Lenny can take this, and we'll put this back in the sacristy later. Yeah. So passing out the sheets, just a recap as to what we've done so far. The first class, we learned the purpose of our life on earth, which is we are here in this world, are you listening? To praise God, to praise God, to reverence God, to serve God. We're here to get to heaven. That's why we're here. Okay, then you had a class on the greatest mystery in the Catholic faith, which is the Trinity. We believe in one God and three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Last week, we had the greatest prayer in the world, which was the Mass. So this is our fourth class, and we're moving into studying the most important person that ever came to this world, and his name is Jesus Christ. So we're going to start the most important study of Jesus Christ, and the purpose is this: we want to love Jesus and we want him to be our best friend in this life and for all eternity. Okay? We want him to be our best friend. In this life, if he is, then he's going to be our best friend and our God for all eternity. Okay? So let's start. Title: Jesus, the Son of God Made Man. We believe in the Blessed Trinity. This means that there is one God, but three distinct persons, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We already learned this. This is the greatest mystery of our Catholic faith. Jesus is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. This lesson we'll strive to get to know Jesus better. Prayer, let's say this prayer together. Lord Jesus. Let's say it again. Lord Jesus, I beg for intimate knowledge of you. I may love you more ardently and follow you more closely. That's a prayer taken from St. Ignatius of Loyola, okay? The founder of the Jesuits, who gave us the spiritual exercises. Okay, the desire and the thrust of our lives. No greater pursuit in our lives is that in striving to get to know, love, and follow and serve Jesus, the Lord. May Our Lady, the Mother of Jesus, obtain for us this ardent yearning for the Lord. So let's pray together, Psalm 42, verse 1. Together, as the deer yearns, say that again, as the probably heard of the Psalms, that's Psalm 42, verse 1. Okay, who's Jesus? Okay, he is this is the shortest, probably the best definition of Jesus that we should all memorize. Jesus is the Son of God made man, which is, by the way, the title of this lesson. Jesus is the Son of God made man. Okay, what is Jesus' relation in the Trinity? Jesus is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. So he's true God and also true man. Where was he born? Jesus, in his human nature, was born in the stable of Bethlehem, a little more than 2,000 years ago. See the parallel in what's going to follow next, the symbolism. Bethlehem, you know what Bethlehem means? You're scratching yourself. Okay. Bethlehem means the house of bread. Okay? It means the house of bread. See the parallel here? Jesus is the bread of life, born in the house of bread. I like that. Yeah, I like that. He's the bread of life in Holy Communion, but born in the house of bread. Okay, next. When does the church celebrate the birthday of Jesus? Okay, what do we call that day? What? the kids still, you still study grammar? Do you know what a compound word is?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay. What, you don't know? What's a compound word?
A compound word is like two words and made into one.
Okay, so this would be a compound word, which is really interesting. So this is a compound word divided into two words, really, right? You have Christ Mass. You ever think about that? So we celebrate Christmas, the Mass of Christ. So what's the most important part of Christmas is when you go to Mass and receive Holy Communion. You're thinking about Santa Claus, right? Santa Claus coming down the chimney, ho, 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 you know. Fat little guy in the red pajamas, there he is. You know? I'd like to light a chimney and send him to Mars or to the moon, no? There's a temptation that I've always had, no? Because Christmas has become very materialistic. We become pagan Christians, right? Think more about eating and drinking and toys than the birth of Jesus. How do you think, face it, you know? December's coming around, what am I going to get this Christmas? We're all thinking about that, right? We should be thinking, what can I give to Jesus rather than what I can receive, right? We don't want to be tainted and be absorbed in materialism or we become pagan Catholics, no? What is a pagan Catholic? Catholic's baptized, but he's not living like a Catholic. Okay, so that being the case, Christmas is the day which the church celebrates the most important birthday in the world, the birthday of Jesus, the Son of God, and the Son of Mary, and our Savior. Do any of you know when we celebrate Mary's birthday? We celebrated about a month ago. When do we celebrate Mary's birthday? Do you know? You're faking ignorance, no? No? Yes? No, that's the Assumption of Mary into heaven. Yeah. That's Mary. That's Our Lady of Sorrows. You're getting close, but no cigar. Yeah. You're both. What's in between the second and the 15th? Try to get the right middle of that. What?
September 8th.
Okay, September 8th. Yeah. Okay, September 8th is the birthday of Mary. Obviously, you didn't do anything special on that day. Maybe next year you remember, no? You should pray at least a couple of rosaries. You know why we celebrate that day? What do we celebrate December 8th?
The Immaculate
Conception. Okay, and that means when Mary is conceived in the womb of Saint Anne, right? Count 9 months from December 8th. January, February, March,
September.
So you see the relationship? So Mary's conception in Anne, December 8th, Immaculate Conception, count 9 months. How long is a baby in the womb of a mother? Usually 9 months, right? Got it? Okay. You have to know a little bit of mathematics to be able to put that together, right? All right, let's move on. So how many natures in Jesus? How many? So there's the divine nature because he's God, and the human nature because he's man. Did Jesus always exist as God?
Yes.
Did he always exist as man?
No.
So as man, God, he always existed. No beginning, no end. But as man, he started to exist when?
Christmas.
Okay. We're already in the womb of Mary, 9 months before, which would be March 25th. Okay. So Jesus came as man about 2,000 years ago. That's his human nature. Okay, the incarnation, not the reincarnation, the incarnation is the tip of your tongue, I know, but you can't get it out. I'll help you. It is the union of the human nature and the divine nature in the second person of the Trinity. How many persons in Jesus? Nope. Nope. You said it.
One.
One. Okay. There's one person in Jesus. You said three. You said two. There's one person in Jesus. That's the second person. Two natures, divine and human, but one person, the second person in Trinity. Got that? You have to have a well-formed Christology. Okay. All right. Who were the parents? Did Jesus have parents? So they were Saint John, was it? Saint Joseph. And who is the mother of Jesus? You got it. They were the earthly parents of Jesus. The Holy Family is Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph. They should be your three best friends. Okay? Never forget about that. Your three best friends should be Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Okay? You pray that you're walking hand in hand with Jesus and Mary and St. Joseph going in front of you and your guardian angels behind you. I like to see it that way. Right, Daniel? Jesus and Mary walking side by side. St. Joseph is leading the way. And you got your guardian angel behind you. You're in good company, right? Amen? Yeah. Good company, right?
Yeah.
Not good, but the best, right? The best company. Okay, what is the private life of Jesus? So you can divide the life of Jesus in heaven always, then he comes down to earth, and you have his private life, his public life, and his passion, death, and resurrection, then his ascension to heaven. That'd be like an earthly division of his life. So his private life of Jesus were those years of Jesus spent with Mary and St. Joseph. Don't forget about Mary, okay, Eric? Most of the time in the human, in the humble town of Nazareth. Do any of you have a cross in your rooms?
Yeah.
What are the letters on the cross?
I,
what?
N-R-I.
What the heck does that mean? What are the three predominant cultures in L.A.? You've got the Latino, but most of you are Latino. Then you got the Asian, the Vietnamese, the Korean, some Filipinos, right? Okay. Then you got some Anglos too. Okay, you got three different cultures. How about the time of Jesus? Have a lot of Mexicans back then? How about Americans? How about Vietnamese? No, you had three different cultures. Do you know what they were? What would be the intellectual culture? You look like a scholar in disguise. It were the Greeks, right? Right? Yes, Father. How about the political power? The Romans, right? Pontius Pilate. How about the Jewish? I'm sorry. Give it away. The religious would be the Jewish, right? So this was actually written in three languages on the top of the cross. If you saw the film of Mel Gibson, you saw three different languages. This would be the Romans spoke both Latin, the educated, and they spoke Italian. So what this means is Jesus, the Nazarene Rex, which means king, Judeus. Jesus, the Nazarene, the king of the Jews. Learn something new every day, right? The next time you look at your cross, interesting. Jesus, the Nazarene, the king of the Jews. Got that, Eric?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what did Jesus do in his private life? Very little is said about his private life. However, Jesus, he prayed. And what's the fourth commandment? It's the one that's most difficult for most of you, huh? Okay, so he prayed and he obeyed his parents. And he worked the profession of a carpenter. Good Saint Joseph taught Jesus the art of being a carpenter. They worked together the demanding manual work of a carpenter. So, what did a carpenter do? Any of you know?
He builds.
Name the things that he builds.
He builds tables.
What else?
Chairs.
Chairs. What?
Bed frame,
good, yeah.
Shelves.
Think even houses, maybe? Roofs, no? Is it an easy profession?
Yeah.
You know, don't forget, we as Americans, Thomas Edison was not born yet. They didn't have electric saws. They had to do it basically manually. They used hammers, right? They had to use saws. They had to use planes. That was really hard work. Do you think Jesus was strong or weak?
Strong.
How about St. Joseph?
Strong.
I've often thought if he were to shake your hand, it'd probably be like a wrench. They're probably very strong. I mean, really strong, no? But they wouldn't do it because they're real gentlemen, caballeros, right? But they were strong. They would come home from work, probably with grimy, dirty hands. They'd be drenched with sweat. They'd smell like sweat. And their hair would be filled with sawdust. Never thought about that, huh? You think your father works hard? Oh, man. They work probably much harder and probably long hours. So they're teaching us the importance of work. We all have to learn the importance of work. And Jesus is the Son of God. I mean, he's the one that created the whole universe, but he's teaching us by his example that we're called to work. You ever hear the phrase, idleness is the workshop of the devil? You ever hear that? What does that mean?
It means that when you're not doing anything, it's easier for you to be tempted.
Right, and that's true. St. John Bosco worked with young people. He was afraid of vacation because the young people had a lot of free time and the devil would tempt them. So make sure that you're always engaged in some type of activity. Physical, mental, emotional, always engaged in wholesome activities. So I'm a strong believer that every teenager should play sports. Okay? You hear me? When I was your age, I threw my first no-hitter. You know what that is? You know anything about baseball?
Yes.
Don't know what that is, huh?
Yes.
When I was your age, I threw my first no-hitter when I was 13 or 14. And you know how I did it? I was pretty sharp because I was in Pony League and I wasn't that tall, but I had a really good arm. And they told me, don't throw a curveball until you're in high school. They said, who cares? So, boom, I perfected the curve. And I was whiffing them right and left. KKK, not Ku Klux Klan, but it was a strikeout. Because they'd never seen a curveball. And I threw the curveball and they were going, oh, strikeout. But it was a lot of fun. So they learn the art of playing baseball. You know, if you're really involved in academics, in sports, and helping at home, no time for the devil to tempt you. Right? Yeah, you're going to have temptations, but they're much less. If you have all the free time in the world, the devil is going to tempt you to do a lot of ugly things. Therefore, work hard to get good grades, but play sports, and then help out at home. Do any of you have more than one brother or sister? Or the only child? Only child? Most of you have 3, 4, 5 brothers or sisters, right? So help out at home. You know what's interesting? Your mom ever tell you to take the trash out?
Yes.
You know what's interesting? Your mom tells you to take the trash out. She has to say it 4 or 5 times, or 6. Hello? Often she has to tell it 4 or 5 times, and that takes 10 minutes. It only takes 90 seconds to do it. It's kind of crazy, isn't it? No? It takes 90 seconds to go from the kitchen to the dumpster and chuck it in there, and your mother's yelling at you 6 times, no? It's kind of ironic, isn't it? So do it right away. As Jesus obeyed, you have to learn how to obey. When you obey your mom and dad, you're obeying God. Amen? Yeah. You know, you don't see it that way, but that's the truth, no? Okay, so let's return. Number 10. Is St. Joseph important?
Yes.
St. Joseph is very important. He is the greatest. What? Okay, you got it. The greatest. The greatest of all saints. The church renders to St. Joseph the cult of protodulia. Ever hear that word? Protodulia, which means the first. The first in veneration among all the saints. So of all the saints in heaven, St. Joseph is the greatest. Got that? Of all the saints, he's the greatest. So next year when you choose the name, a patron saint, for confirmation, you have to choose a patron saint. If you, you choose the name Joseph, or if you like Jose, if you like Spanish, if you prefer Italian, Giuseppe, can't go wrong. Or if you like Josefina, that would be the feminine of Joseph, would be Josefina, did you know that? So it's a great saint. And he's a very powerful saint. And we actually celebrate him twice a year. And that would be March 19th, which is the St. Joseph as the husband of Mary. And May 1st, which is St. Joseph the worker. Got that? Okay, how long did Jesus remain in his private life in Nazareth? Jesus spent close to 30 years in his private life of Nazareth. From these long years, he teaches us these many important lessons. And there are four. The importance of, I think I'm going to like this one, silence. You like silence? I'm afraid of silence. Why is that? Sign of a bad conscience, huh? Go to confession. Yep. Don't want to be in silence. You're afraid that your conscience is going to go after you. No, well, if your conscience is not at peace, go to confession. Then you won't be afraid of silence. Hmm? Silence, and then also prayer. So in this year, we're teaching you how to pray. I like to make this assertion. I, as a teacher, I can teach you how to pray. I can teach you how to pray. I can go on and on and on. Okay? Mental prayer, contemplative prayer, lecture divina, the rosary, Ignatian exercises, Teresian prayer. I can go on, a daily examine. I mean, I can go on and on and on. So I could teach you how to pray. But listen, I can't give you the desire to pray. Sorry. Sorry. I can teach you how to pray. You sit down with me, I could go on and on. And being an English major, I could give you so many books on prayer that your head would be spinning. Okay? Your head would be spinning. Father, you know, another book, another book? Yes, another book. Okay? But I can't give you the desire to pray. You've got to beg for that. You've got to beg for that. I can't give that to you. You've got to beg for it. We have a New York proverb. I like proverbs. And it's this. You can take the horse to the water, but you can't make the horse drink the water. You ever hear that New York proverb? No? You can take the horse to the water, but you can't make the horse drink the water. You know the way that they talk in New York? You ever hear the New York story? There's a little boy in the classroom, and he says to the sister, the nun, "Sister, sister, look at the boy, look at the boy, look at the boy in the tray, look at the boy in the tray." And the sister says, "Johnny, that's not a boy, that's a bird." "Well, it certainly chirps like a boyd." Got that? Okay. Speaking some New York English for you. Okay, so prayer, okay, silence, prayer, obedience. And he teaches us also prayer, silence, prayer, obedience, and work. Here's a question for you. Are you working hard or hardly working? Uh-huh. Can you say that three times fast? Are you working hard or hardly working? Huh? So hopefully you're working hard and not hardly working, huh? Silence allows the listening to God. Prayer is talking to God. And Jesus obeyed his parents. The fourth commandment, finally, work done well and with the right intention is very pleasing to God. How can we learn and pray over Jesus' private life? A very good way to learn to pray over the infancy of Jesus and his private life is by praying and meditating on the
mysteries of the Rosary.
Okay, the joyful mysteries, right? Especially the joyful mysteries. Can we name them? Más o menos? Can we name them? I think you know, right? Okay, the first is the Annunciation. I'm interested in vocabulary. Why the word Annunciation? You know? Good, yeah, because the angel announced to Mary the good news. Good. And the second would be? Why? Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth. And the third would be? Birth of Jesus. We talked about that already. How about the fourth one? It would be the presentation in the synagogue? No. In the temple. Okay. He's a little baby presenting in the temple. Who is there? Simeon, and who's the other lady?
Anna.
Okay. Anna. And how about the fifth? Would be the... When you were 3 or 4, did your mother ever lose you when you were maybe in a supermarket or someplace? I think that's when she had her first heart attack. Huh? Where is my daughter? There she is in the corner of the supermarket eating Milky Way bars. Okay. Finally, able to find her. Huh? So the finding of Jesus in the temple. All these mysteries can be found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1 and 2. What is the primary purpose of the rosary? According to, any of you ever hear of St. John Paul II? Ever hear of his name? Heard of him? Who was he? For how long? 1978 to 2005, right? When was he canonized? You know who we celebrate today?
Pope John
XXIII. You got it. You know when he was canonized? He was canonized with John Paul II. And they were canonized together. Yeah, they were canonized together. Now I'm going to tell you a joke because he liked to tell a lot of jokes. Can I tell you a joke? Okay. Understanding humor is a sense of intelligence, by the way, okay? So if you don't understand, you're in the doghouse, okay? Okay, John the 23rd asked this question. How many people work in the Vatican? He said about half of them, okay? They didn't pick it up. They'll pick it up later once they graduate from high school, okay? See, according to St. Pope John Paul II, one of the primary purposes of the Holy Rosary is to contemplate the face of Jesus. Contemplate the face of Jesus through the eyes and the heart of Mary. Got it. Contemplate the face of Jesus through the eyes and heart of Mary. No better way to do it, right? In his document, he says, Mary contemplated Jesus even within her womb. How about that? Babies in the womb already contemplating in her arms in Bethlehem. When he's a little boy, when he's a teenager, when he's working, when he's preaching, even when he's on the cross. He stood underneath the cross, right? She stood underneath the cross, seeing Jesus shed his blood, that she actually gave him his blood, his human nature. Yeah. Okay, the last is Jesus as a child. What do we know of him? After Jesus was found in the temple, the gospel says this of Jesus. He was... Teaching to them, that's bad English. That's clumsy English.
Preaching.
Oh, wow, but that's... Obedient, you got it. Obedient to them, and his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom, in age, and grace before God and men. All of us should try to advance in wisdom, in age, and grace before God and men. So let's, we have our consecration card, right? Do they all have it? You want to have your consecration blue card? Make sure you wear your scapulars. Don't take it off. Take a shower bath, but then put it back on, okay?
Okay.
Okay, let's say our prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Together. Mary, my Queen and my Mother, give myself entirely to you. Know my devotion to you. I consecrate you this day. My eyes, my ears, my mouth, my heart, whole being without reserve. Wherefore, good Mother, stand me. Keep me and guard me as your property and possession. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Okay? God bless you. You're welcome.
Good night, Father.